So for those that are just joining us online, we just want to encourage you. We're taking the communion, so let's just pray for a moment, and then we'll take the elements together. So this morning, Father, we are so grateful. I felt like I was limited in my understanding, in my fleshly body, and in my mind of the magnitude of what you did for us. And so help me to have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness in just a new and fresh way, Father. I don't want this to be a routine. I don't want to just do this every month like it's tradition. I want it to mean something personal to me. I want to be reminded. We do this in remembrance of what you did, not just as a symbol, but as something personal again. Father, you did it for me. You did it for us. We read it. You did it for all of us, all of them, you, me. So thank you for that, God. Help me to be so reliant upon you. Help me to understand that we're free in Jesus because of what you did. I stand cleansed and whole in Jesus' name because of what you did. Not because of what I've done, because that is a recipe for disaster, but because of what you've done. I can stand here bold, crying out to God for mercy. And so thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get back to the Word of God, though. Let's continue the story that we were just reading as we went through the communion story. So let's open up the Bibles to Luke chapter 22 again. And we're going to continue to read a few of the verses here. And there's something that when I read it, I was like, wow, I've never seen that before. And I've been wanting so desperately to share it with you. So here we go. We're going to have some fun together. So verse 21, we'll jump into the story. Luke chapter 22 again. Jesus, you know, Judas just is betraying Jesus. We just went through the communion together. And here we go in verse 21. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with me at the table. Whoa, man, that's going to be kind of scary. Yet Jesus is saying to you, one of you is going to betray me. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays me. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. So there's one aspect here. Who's going to betray Jesus? They're looking at each other. There's the 12 of them. Then also this breaks out. So who's the worst? And then watch it just switch gears as we do often, like, oh, it's not that bad. And also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. You know, like, we're right there with Jesus, right? We know that two of the apostles at a different time were like, Jesus, we want to sit at your right and your left, you know, in your glory. But in verse 25, Jesus said to them, the kings of... of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules, who has a title, like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you. Jesus belongs at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. There's the gospel message right there in a nutshell. Love your neighbor, love others, serve others, put others before you all day long. Serve, serve, serve. It's just like right there. It's right here with the communion. Jesus is like, I only have a few words left. I only have a few more teachings with you. I want you to get this. I want you to understand this great teaching here. So we see, again, the stark contrast of, like, if you're the greatest, if you consider yourself the greatest, if you've had all this education and you just feel like you're the greatest evangelist and all this, you know, prophetic giftings, be like the youngest, though. And the youngest is the, you know, a young child. He doesn't usually ask too many questions. He's like, yes, mom, yes, dad. And usually has his arms up, like, please pick me up, you know. Like, just have this simplicity. Don't get too... get too much information in your head because you start getting confused about what's good. And the one who rules, or the one who's a king, or the one who has, again, titles, like the one who serves. Again, Jesus is there. He deserves to be at the table. He deserves to be taken care of. He deserves a red carpet, but he doesn't ask for it. Let me read on to the part that just blew me away. I was like, yes, there it is. And so when I read that, you know, if you think about pastoring for 18 years, I did 8 years of correspondence studies online. I've studied this thing inside and out. I read it every day. And you're thinking like, I just read it like it was fresh last night. It was not even part of my message. I just put it in there because last night I was preparing the message. God was like, hello. Has anybody else ever had that experience like in Jesus' name? Because the Bible's still fresh and new every time you open it. Even if you think you know it, read it again. Because when you read it again, it'll become alive to you. And I was like, oh, look at that. That looks like fun. Verse 28. You are those who have stood by me in the trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on you. Verse 30. So that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When I read this piece of scripture, often, you know, I look through here. It's just this nice flow of information. You know, this is terrible information, but, you know, Judas betrays Jesus. Jesus talks about taking the communion. The disciples get into an argument. But why is there, like, interjected in here? Often, we just see these little kind of subheadings here about certain things happening like this in verse 16. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. It just, like, throws that in there for fun. No, not, there's a purpose of why it's in there. So I will not eat. We see the word eat there. I won't eat until the kingdom. A couple verses later in verse 18, for I tell you, I will not drink again till the fruit of the vine, until it comes, till God comes again. Eat, drink, and then we see in verse 30 something else happen, both of them together. And when we see three in the Bible, we just get excited about it because we think about our Heavenly Father, the triune God, and we think God the Father, Jesus, God the Son at the right hand, and then God, Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. There's this three. If we look at three in the Bible, we see it means completeness and wholeness. As the scripture is being written, it becomes complete and whole to us as we read the whole thing and it starts making sense to us. We're like, oh yes. Because on that kind of a level, if it was based on our completeness or wholeness or our understanding of it, we're in trouble. Because we're not perfect, and we don't have it all together. And even though Judas is betraying them, even though the disciples are disputing over things, even though they're like, I want to be the greatest, Jesus says these things to us in the midst of our confusion. It's not like the disciples were like, oh, we got it all together, Lord. We got the table set. You know, got the communion. Shh, no arguing here. This is the Last Supper. What's wrong with you? Shut up. You know, we're just human. There's regular people around the table arguing and disputing and this kind of stuff. And Jesus says, you will sit with me at my table. Isn't that, ridiculous, but awesome at the same time? Because you and I think, I think, you know, when I mess it up, I'm like, I'm not going around the table. You know, around the communion plate, oh my word, like God knows now. Like he didn't know before anyways, but there's just something extra special when you're around the community. Oh, we better get our act together and get it right, you know. And we think we don't deserve it. But he's always there. He always cares. You're always using thems and us and all of us. At the same time, even in our mess, even in our confusion and our disputing over just the simplicity of God's word. Love that verse 30. So it makes this conclusion because in verse 16, eat again by itself, 18, drink, and then it fulfills it. You're going to eat and drink at my table because I love you. Brilliant stuff, eh? This all happened again after the apostles are just having a serious, all this trouble was going on, and Jesus just speaks life right into it. I want to share a personal story with you. I don't think I've shared at this point. For 5 years, I'm thinking, I got to get some new stories. You know, you're going to keep hearing, Pastor, I've heard that story before. But I got this one here. So in Prince Rupert, I grew up most of my life, and my parents got married. It was kind of like this blended family, a couple kids on either side of the family. And so they got married in a church. I remember my mom pulling me aside. So it's my biological mom. It was to a stepdad, did a great job, wonderful guy. She just said, hey, if this family continues to go to church, I can just remember, I could picture her saying this to me, it's going to be okay. You know, it's been a rough ride so far in life. You know, we've gone through some different men and that kind of stuff. But if we get this right, if we get Jesus, we get the church, we're going to be okay. And I remember years later, it wasn't okay. and they got divorced, and I left home. It was it's painful. I hate church. I'll never go back to church. Never. So painful. Man, the stuff that happened to me at that point in my life when my parents got divorced and walked away was just like, I had to blame somebody. I didn't want to blame my mom, so I was blaming the church. I remember years later, I start going through life and Emily and I meet and we get married. We head up to White Horse and all of a sudden there's this call of God on my life to become a pastor. So I become a pastor and years later, I didn't even want to go back to Prince Rupert. There was just so much pain in my memory of that place. And so, years later, 20 years later, it felt like we went back to Prince Rupert and I want to go to that place. I want to go to that grounds. I want to go on that property. I stood on that property. I just felt all those emotions, man. And I just looked at that church. And I was shocked. It wasn't a Baptist church. It wasn't a Christian Reformed church. It wasn't E-Free. It wasn't any of those denominations. It was Pentecostal, the church I now work for. I thought, you can't orchestrate that, man. You can't plan that kind of stuff. So when things happen in our lives and we even make poor decisions, I didn't make any of those decisions, and things seem to come off the rails, God has a master plan, and he will use and redeem, even in our ignorance. So when I read about the disciples, just regular folks arguing and disputing and all this stuff going on, I'm just a regular kind of guy, and I get emotions, and I get frustrated with things. And then God, I get to see him up in heaven going, watch this day. And he's having a good laugh up there. Ha ha, I'm going to get you saved. I'm going to get you serving in the church that you hated, that you never wanted to be a part of. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. So there's areas in your life and my life that are difficult. And you think, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to go there. And one day God will take you there. And he will redeem that in Jesus' name. And you will be floored. And you'll have a testimony. And it will give you faith so that you'll never want to walk away. You'll say, I just know that I know that Jesus Christ is real because I've seen it with my hands. I don't just read about it or hear about it. I hear pastors' funny stories. I've felt it, man. I walked that. Those kids are down there right now in Kelowna at the youth conference. They're experiencing Jesus. Did you know the top three things that keep a young person as you get older, they go off to college and university and they're in their 20s and 30s, they say, when I went to a conference, I met with Jesus. I can't walk away. When I went to a camp, man, that camp experience, I can never walk away. Or some kind of road trip or a missions trip. Those are the top three reasons that young people are continuing on because we've got to have those kind of events for them. I pray that we would have more things like that for them to connect with. Now, let me throw me under the bus. I love doing this. It's so much fun because I want to be gentle to you guys, but I like just having fun with myself. Hey, after I had that horrible experience in Prince Rupert, after I graduated, I don't even know how I graduated, but anyways, I went down to Vancouver, and my first job out of high school, I did a couple different odds and ends jobs, but they opened a brand new Little Caesars Pizza in Coquitlam, right by Coquitlam Mall. We had this guy that would ride BMX, like do flatland tricks, and he was on the X Games, and I fed him pizza every day. It was awesome, and he would just practice right outside, in the Little Caesars. So they hired 12 of us, and I did not know this, but they were looking for somebody to manage the store. So 12 employees, and they were just watching. The owner was just watching. I'm just making pizza or whatever. I'm getting paid. It's good. I get to take free pizza home. I made that one wrong. Oops, I get to take that one home. all the flavors and toppings that I like. That never happened, right? I wasn't saved. Let's just clarify that. So I'm making pizzas, and I honestly got promoted. I didn't even really, I was like 19. They're like, the owner's like, I want you to manage the store. I was like, holy smoke, I'm freaking out, okay. Do all schedule, ordering all the stuff. So it was kind of cool. Then after about 6 months of that, it was Super Bowl Sunday. Man, I hated Super Bowl Sunday or Valentine's or all that kind of stuff when you had to do pizza. Because you had to make a heart-shaped pizza. You ever tried to work out a heart-shaped pizza? You put it in a machine and come out as a heart. You don't pull on it and it comes out as a heart. A football, what's that thing, man? I stressed out about it. So somebody ordered this football, and all the other workers I'm not making that. I'm the manager. I guess I got to make this pizza, like an idiot. So I make this football-shaped pizza. I'm like, sweet, finally. This one looks majestic. Put it in the oven. All of a sudden, it comes out the other end. There's a bubble, a huge bubble. all the toppings, the cheese and the pepperoni, all on the one side. I was like, what the? So I'm like, just, I'm freaking out that, you know, the delivery guy's like, come on, give me my pizza. I'm like, okay, let's poke a hole in the bubble, squish all the pizza, the toppings across. All of a sudden, like 5 minutes later, like the owner and his boss, the district manager, walking with the pizza. Who made this pizza? I'm like, I quit, man. I'm done. Like, I got to get out of here. Like, this is terrible. But do you see the stark contrast of that? I put my best effort into that pizza until it ballooned up. That wasn't my fault. That was the stupid oven's fault. I put it all my best on the line. All my best. And it came out horrible. I felt terrible. I thought, I'm going to get fired. And we do that with God. We treat him the same way, right? We put our best out there, and then he shows up, and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble, because you know your best isn't good enough. Your best isn't close enough. Because he wants to make you whole and perfect, but you got to receive him in Jesus' name. In every area, even in your pizza-making abilities. You're not that good. You know, it's not that, whatever you're, what, anyways. That was a great story. I love stories. Okay, let's watch Jesus do something really cool, eh? Okay, so John chapter 13. We got to transition away from that experience. You're getting hungry just thinking about it. So we were reading in Luke. We were reading about, you know, the things that had happened through Luke's eyes, remembering that Luke is like a historian. Now, he's gathering information. We see it through Luke's eyes as he's researching it. I mean, he's a good guy, though. Man, his research is like was brilliant. But then we're going to read it through John's eyes. Who was there? Who was a witness to these experiences? So he's bringing up something that Jesus did that is just eye-opening. Lots of us know the story, but I want to just pull one aspect out of it that we see that just speaks so good to this, you know, kind of thought right here. So John chapter 13, the heading is Jesus washes his disciples' feet. But there's something in here that happens that sometimes we don't see so clearly. So let's have some fun with it here. So Jesus, or John, yeah, that guy. And we're talking about Jesus, John 13. I got to breathe. Hold on. I need some water. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Wrap it up right there. The full extent of his love. I'm thinking like, oh, this is going to be good. It's going to be like a profound, theological, you know, deep idea. Like, here it goes. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He should be at the table. There should be a red carpet as he walks in. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. He said to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And we're in the later. Right? We got, this wasn't happening in the moment. We're here later. So what was the understanding? That's what I really want to pull apart. So, but you will understand later. So let's keep reading. Verse 8. No, said Peter. I shall never wash my feet, Jesus said. Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet. Because he knows. Simon Peter knows. It's not just his feet, but it's his hands and his head as well. Think about as we read just a little bit later, Jesus is getting arrested, and Peter, son of... No, I'm joking. No, he wasn't one of those guys. But he grabs a sword, and he cuts off a guard's ear. He knows that he needs to submit his hands of anger to the Lord. We would read as well, too. People are... taking Jesus away to be crucified and say, hey, you know that Jesus guy, right? I swear on my, I don't know. He knows that his head needs to be cleansed as well. what areas of our lives do we need washing? Yes, our feet. As we walk around, we get dirty. We go through life. We have to go and live out in the real world. We can get dirty. But what other things do we need to confess and give? And that's what Simon Peter's heart is like. He just, God, I need a full cleansing here. Let's keep reading in verse 10. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. Judas Iscariot, not good. Then he, when he had finished washing his feet, but just not good. He knew who was going to betray him. He still washed his feet. Come on. Like, this guy's about to stab me in the back. Well, let me wash your feet while you're, you know, here, hold the knife, you know, just, I'll wash your feet while you're doing that. Here, hold the gun, you know, come on. Jesus, doesn't matter. You can never put yourself in a boat, oh, Jesus doesn't care, I've done too much wrong. Like, you're kidding me. This guy killed Jesus, and he still loved him and washed his feet. I didn't even see that before. That's great. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Here's the answer. Do you understand what I've done for you? Asked them. Again, we have the answer. Here we go. Verse 13. Let's keep reading. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. I've got a title, I've got a position, I've got authority. But now that I am your Lord and teacher, I've washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set for you an example. What am I understanding? I'm understanding this example that he's setting so that I should do the same. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now that you understand what I've done, you have the example, I've done it, go and do likewise. So that, again, we don't do things like, oh, I'm going to get blessed, I'm going to get financially blessed. And, you know, so that you will be blessed. How do I be Christian? How do I be Christ-like? How do I get blessed? How does God bless me? It's when I do these kind of things. If we just walk around and pomp and all this kind of stuff, like, you know, I've kind of been there, I've done that, I've experienced all this, like, you know, I don't know about the rest of you jokers, like, you know, I'm in a place here, like, this is what God is talking against. Saying, please don't be like that. Please be humble, humble, humble all day long until the very end. Serve, serve, serve. Don't ever put yourself on a platform above somebody. If God ever gives you a platform, it's so that you can humble yourself and serve. He doesn't ever give you a platform because what happens when people are put on platforms that don't operate well? How do they end up? We read it about it all the time in the news, don't we? Foolishness. Because they've lost sight of who they were, where they came from, so that they can humble and serve somebody else to help them along the way. Because somebody helped you. Somebody prayed for you, somebody served you, somebody loved on you, somebody invited you, all those kind of things that God's saying, please be like that. Jesus knows that, and he wants to cleanse us this morning. I want to talk about three categories, and I want to pray for you. So can you please be super honest with me? If I don't want to close eyes. I'm that kind of person. I'm not going to invite you up to the front, embarrass you or something. But it helps me as a pastor, as I minister, to know my audience a little bit better. And so please don't look around as well. But I want to talk about three categories this morning. I want to talk about category number one that we're just reading about is that Jesus says to Peter, he says, you're clean. Your body's clean. You see, your feet are a little bit dirty. You know, you got yourself in a little bit of mess here. You kind of made a couple of mistakes. Let's just kind of clean that up. Say sorry. We're all good to go. So that's category number one. You love Jesus. You've done some things. I mean, there's no perfect category, just so we're clear. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's got it all together. So category, that would be like the closest to like figuring it all out. The second category, let me make sure I'm clear here, is like you need a full body washing. You don't need to get saved. You've kind of given your heart to the Lord, but you haven't been water baptized, or you haven't even been spirit baptized. Your whole body needs a good cleansing. That's number two. So water baptism, spirit baptism. And then number three is like you honestly don't know the Lord. You need Jesus in your life. And can you be like really honest? Is that okay? Can we do that this morning? And so we'll just start with, I don't know, which one's easier to start with? Because I don't want to feel awkward here this morning. Oh, we're on live TV too. I don't know what people online are going to do. I can't see that. But like, I think I'm in category number one. I need some clean feet. Like, is there anybody else here this morning that's like, yeah, I need to kind of deal with some stuff. Yeah, okay, thanks. That's a lot of the room. this morning, if there's anybody here that's like, you know, like, I know Jesus, but I haven't done that water baptism thing and spirit baptism. I'm not sure what that is. So just, you know, is there anybody here this morning like that? Yeah, there's a few of us. Great. Thanks for being honest. And then if you're here this morning, you're just like, you don't even know the Lord. And like, it's okay. Like, I was there for a long time. And so, oh, come on. There's got to be some takers. Like, just need Jesus. Okay. There's a couple of us back there. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Let me just pray for each group right now, okay? So let's just close our eyes. So Father, in Jesus' name, you saw a lot of hands go up for those of us like myself. We've got some dirty feet. We've got some areas in our life that they really don't line up with the Word of God. And I just, you know, I think personally, I just feel embarrassed, Lord. You know, if you were here and you were at the table and you were washing my feet, I would just feel awkward. And so, Father, I just give you all that awkwardness and that insecurity and all those fears that you're a harsh God and you're going to judge me or something towards that effect, that you just love me, Father. I pray that the majority of the room would feel that you love us, that you died for those dirty feet. And I just think about my own feet. If there's any insecurity there too of like, oh, my feet, and you know, they're kind of funny looking and all that kind of stuff, like, God, all those things that we feel insecure about, thank you for taking that. Take that and cleanse it out of our minds in Jesus' name. God, for those that raise their hand that need to get water baptized, you know, we'll do that this summer. So thank you for those that are going to commit to that. I'm just considering right now those that need to be spirit baptized, that need to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And I pray for those that raise their hand, just if you want to say it out loud, it's cool. If you want to say it in your heart, but like, I receive the Holy Spirit this morning in Jesus' name. I pray that they would receive that in Jesus' name, that they would be overflowing with the Holy Spirit in every area of their life so that they can fulfill the great calling that you have on their lives. And this morning, for those that raise up their hand, they don't know you. Father, what a privilege it is always to walk people down that road. And so if that was you this morning and you don't know Jesus, I pray again, if you want to pray in your heart or out loud, it's your choice, that you would confess that I need Jesus Christ in my life. I am a sinner and I'm broken and I need to be cleansed by what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. I receive him today. I give my life to him today. His will, not my will, be done moving forward in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for being so honest with me this morning. I really appreciate that. I want to close with just one more story here. It was just so moving. I went to the movie theaters with my lovely wife not too long ago, and there's a movie coming out that's maybe a little bit controversial, The Jesus Revolution. There was just this part in the movie that, I mean, I teared up. I am just a big baby sometimes. So there's parts in the movie I just was just emotional, just moved in the spirit. And so there's a clip of the pastor and the board having a meeting. And the conversation that's happening in that moment is saying, hey, these honking hippies are coming in here without shoes or sandals on, and they're wrecking the shag carpet. What are we going to do about that? And so this conversation happened, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, the very next scene, you see the pastor of the church, the lead pastor, at the front door with a bucket, with towel in hand, washing every hippie's foot that came in the door. See, he's like, I want them all to come here. Let's not make any hindrance for them. This is a building, for crying out loud. I hope you sense that as our church. You're like, I'm grateful we're getting the new carpet and the new paint and the new windows and yay. But I don't want it to ever get to a place where like, hey, you know, like, what's this hole in the wall? Or stop using the facility. Or, you know, don't, you know. Please never let that come around this church. Like, the more people that use it and kick holes in the wall, praise God for holes in the wall. No, I'm joking, but, you know, just realistically, like, if that's what has to happen, that's okay. And so I see that pastor, and I don't know, when you see those kind of things, you're just moved. It just is like, wow, that's powerful. You imagine walking in and somebody just of authority, you know, we look at any kind of somebody that we would consider of like, you know, high status. If all of a sudden they were down on their knees just cleaning people's feet, how moving that would be. You'd be like, I have more respect for that person now because of their humility and their humbleness. And so that just really spoke to me in that movie. So we can see here again, recapping, we see that Jesus talks about, you know, eating and drinking with him in his kingdom, and he wants all of us there, no matter what we're facing again. As, you know, you're the apostles, man, the disciples hung around Jesus for 3 years. You would see the things that he had done, and they're still confused, they're still disputing, they still don't understand. And God is saying, oh, I love those people. I love that guy that's going to turn me in and turn me over. I just love every single person. There is nothing that you can do that would keep you outside of the love of God. Nothing. This is just one story of thousands that speak of that. Would you say amen to that? God loves you. Oh, he loves you so much. So let me just close in prayer, and we'll get the worship team up here, and we'll have one last song together. So Father, this morning, we just love your word. Oh, it just speaks of your love for us. It speaks of truth. And in today's world, we need more of that. There's so much confusion, so much wrong information out there. I thank you that I can turn to your word and it speaks life into my body. And so, Father, I just want to confess our church to you. We want to just intercede on our church's behalf, that we just want to honor you. We want to serve people well. And sometimes we forget how to do that. Sometimes we get distracted on other things. Help us to stay focused on the main point, the main purpose. You know, as you said so clearly in your word there, you said, let me teach you something. A very important principle. Love others, serve others. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being that witness and testimony for us. God, we receive you. We receive more of you. We need more of you so much. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.